Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, here we go.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've tuned in, this is The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Gwendolyn Berry. And I'm in Soggy, Florida. And how's it going in New York?
Well, it's like about to be soggy, and hopefully, because it's been so humid.
Oh, yeah. That's something that comes with the rain, is the clearing off of the energy and the... Yeah. The reboot, as they say, if it's a good rain, you know. and we need lots of clearing off these days.
Yeah.
I think we need to find a new intro piece, too.
I like it. It served its purpose.
It rains. It's something with the upload, I think, or something. It's a little slower than it should be, it sounds like. But anyways. These are just little details we work out in the days to come.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, there is a meteor that is scratching our skies this weekend, tomorrow, about 3 p.m. our time. And when a meteor or a comet hits our skies, it's notable, you know? It's been notable since our ancestors were still, you know, divvying up the meat at the campfire.
It's a good visual.
I like that. Yeah, I went all 2001 on you there, didn't I?
That's good.
you know, talking about divisions, we were talking before the show started about topics this week, and there's no doubt, especially if you're listening to some of the more, what I consider enlightened astro flash reports that you can find out there. Tom Lesher's Pele report is fantastic. You go over to Facebook and take a look at Cosmic Intelligence Agency. You can find a lot of posts that are giving you, and the basic interpretations, of course, of the planets can vary sometimes. But basically, they're most like, most alike. And right now we have conjunctions and oppositions going on, but we forget that oppositions bring a balance because there's this much energy on this side equally matched by an energy which is an opposing energy on the other side. And that's the perfect description of yin-yang, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot. It's horrible as we might look up and see, because we're so technically plugged in these days with instant access. As you know, the news travels so fast, and people are so plugged in, especially light workers, because light workers use the social media networks to put their messages out and attract new clientele. And, you know, we have all these different, true too, that we have all this information at our fingertips. We also have all that information that's shaded, deglassed and deglazed and lied about, especially in the mainstream media. So there's that too. And people are looking and seeing everything that's happening in the world. Yet in their world, many folks are going, well, you know, I just see the prices rising. I'm a little anxious about the next few months whether or not the money will be there. That the same old, but right now there seems to be sort of a, not sort of, but a spotlight on it and saying, especially to folks with an awareness, and this is the consciousness shift. We're talking about changing the paradigm of thinking and thought out there. We're looking at things from different points of view so that we might bring healing in. So when you have all this opposition going on and people are getting frightened again and war is ever, you know, I mean, good Lord, people are listening to more war stories this you know, at this time than, I don't know, since the Tet Offensive. There's a jumble of emotional drops you have to walk through and hold your balance through.
Yeah, and especially now that we're, a lot of us are understanding the oneness, that does include feeling the oneness as well. And with all this strife that's going on our planet, as well as the movements of the other planets, and then your own movements and feelings of yourself and your own world, it becomes a whole other level of processing things. Mm-hmm. And I find, you know, with the best of us that have been working on this and you know, paying attention, the biggest dance is how to, because now, okay, first it's figuring out what's your energy and what's the world's energy and what's the planet's. Okay, but then after a while, you really just have to be able to ride them all. And, you know, just the thought of it, you're like, it's like waves coming from a lot of different angles, and there you are on your surfboard. So it's not surprising if we're having some trouble.
Well, you know, it's true. I walking with certain, you know, you walk with who you are, and I noticed that especially in the social media, you can have somebody post something, and there's just so much activism right now, and so much new awareness that's being asked to be taken. It's not new awareness. It's like the problem of racism, which is still quite apparent in our society right now, as vis-a-vis Ferguson and, you know, the injustice against people of color by the law enforcement communities in our country especially, but it's all over the world. And you can reverse that somewhat too in places where, you know, the Caucasian race or the Caucasian people are feeling it when it's predominantly they're the minority. So it's all about balance. It really is all about balance. And there was a poster put up, you know, today by a good friend of mine who's a light worker in Asheville, North Carolina, and speaking on the topic of the racism that's going on out there. And this gal has been a guest of ours, and she's also one of the sweetest hearts I've ever known. She's just a gentle, very gentle person. And she put up a poster by Pete Dominic that said, if you're more outraged at poor black folks in Missouri looting stores than rich whites on Wall Street looting your future, you've been duped. You know, and it really, oh, wow, what a wonderful thing to say, because it brings people to think, you know, what the heck? But, you know, every post gets comments, and somebody commented that it doesn't matter what color their skin is or where they do it, it's wrong to steal. Is there ever a scenario to justify stealing something that isn't yours? And the first thing, and the first thing that popped in my mind was Les Miserables, you know, what a crust of bread stolen costs.
Yeah, it's an awfully blanketed statement of never steal. You know, it's that same one-sided, you know, bullshit from the Ten Commandments.
It is. It is. And you know, as a light worker, I keep myself as healthy as I can with body, mind, spirit, because it's a tool that I use and to be of service to my community. And no smart ass remarks about the flu, but I'm thinking about the shift of consciousness for this planet. And so it's a really good question about theft, because it really matters. Why was the theft committed? Ultimately, who's responsible for it? You know, it's a subjective, it's a very subjective situation. And go ahead.
I think intent has a lot. That's why it's in our judicial system. I mean, thankfully, it's one thing that's in there that makes sense. But intent, really, were you intent on just, you know, taking and you don't really need it? Or was it intent to, you know, take it so that you could feed your child? I mean, I think anybody can understand that. And also with the relaxing on, this is the only way this should go. Like, that's just impossible. There's no one way anything should go.
Right. It's like when you say that there's no excuse for theft, well, then you're actually, in this case, with Ferguson and stuff, you're actually exposing your thinking, your baseline thought is not that of the light worker. Or for, you know, I mean, this is a common story within the stories, the parables of, you know, rejuvenation and forgiveness, especially within the Christian, the one God communities. I mean, how many saints do we know that this is the tip, the very foundation of their sainthood has been their forgiveness of such crimes, because they looked on it and saw that it was not about the theft, but the reason for the theft.
Yeah.
And when a light worker doesn't see that, we're in trouble, baby.
Yeah, I've been watching this show that's on Amazon Prime. It's called Enlightened with Laura Dern. She plays this.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is. That's the revolution. Yes.
Yeah. She plays this, like, you know, frayed, you know, woman at the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, loses her mind in the beginning, and she has anger issues, and then she goes to a retreat to calm herself, and then is fighting against, or is appalled, at least in the beginning, of what's going on with her company and all the terrible things they're doing around the world, pollution and so on and so forth. So, but I like the commentary that she says a lot, like, of looking at other people's lives and, you know, wishing that their life was yours, or looking at another person's life and how you're so happy that you don't have to live through that, and giving the perspective of, all right, you know, the worst person's life, it probably has some beautiful things, and the best person's life probably also has some horrible things. And so this equality of understanding, and there was a point I was going to make about I don't know, that's been happening again. It's like the thoughts just whoom.
I get that. I get that a lot. You know what it reminds me of? Decades ago, a lady I admire stood up and said, "This is not a revolt. This is a revolution." And she went on to publish Ms. Magazine, and she was talking about women's rights. Her name was Gloria Steinem. And she was right. And that revolution continues. But boy, did they make a beachhead. Well, burning brassieres was one hell of a way to get attention. And in the day, man, that was a big thing. But this is about, there is a not so quiet and quiet, both, revolution going on. And it's in our community as light workers, it is a bloodless and agonyless, let's put it that way, revolution. It's a revolution of changing your mind, changing your perception of how you see things. And the way we get there is to turn within and look at how we see our own selves and facing our own issues and being willing to eventually come to healing, which is forgiving ourselves. And when we can get there and we do that point by point, step by step, we learn to see, instead of, you know, every theft is wrong, we understand, no, every theft is not wrong. It's about why we've stolen, why they've stolen. It's about forgiveness, you know? We've forgiven ourselves. We've transcended. We don't always transcend the behavior pattern, but we understand and we are aware that this is an issue. And at the heart of it is forgiving ourselves. So we begin to use that lesson as a tool of healing for not just ourselves, but for the rest of the community, everybody we run into.
Yeah, that reminded me of what I was going to say about the show, is that she gets on the bus and she's having this terrible day, and she gets on and everybody seems cold and angry, and she sits down next to this woman who had her bag on the one vacant seat, and she's like, you know, giving her dirty looks out of the side of her eye. And then she remembers something she learned at the retreat, of looking at everyone else as if they were your mother. That person's your mother. That person's your mother. And in the show, she doesn't have the greatest relationship with her mother, even though there's clearly love there. And so she sees this woman. She sees the woman that plays her mother, and she's kind of like this, you know, loving but kind of beaten down, a little hardened. And there is a sense of, I mean, it does come across a little bit as pity, and I'm not really a big fan of pity, but the pity can easily turn into compassion, which I think is a better expression of sympathy. And so when you look at it that way, to see that the other point she made was that parents are also a child. They're a child doing the best they can. And so would you give a child a hard time? So I think when we look at all these people that are doing violent things or what we consider wrong things, to, again, like we're saying, to consider the source, consider why. And then even if it is a terrible reason, which usually the terrible reason is always some fear or some anger or something where you got hurt and now you decided that you're going to do that to everybody else. And that's just kind of a pitiful existence, you know. So to have compassion for that, you know, all right, you know, especially with these policemen doing this. I mean, I've become pretty good at keeping these things at bay, you know, with not feeling it too much on like a heart level, because it really doesn't serve anyone. No. But this police brutality, it's like, okay, like what is the source of this? And the only thing I can come up with is it's, again, this fear, and it's something of a Stockholm syndrome. It's like you felt strangled by your life situation, probably especially financially, and so you decided to go into the armed forces because that was what was available to you. And then you got a lot of your soul and your ego bumped around and bruised and all kinds of things, so now you're kind of something else. And then I was watching today this woman that was standing up to one of her fellow police officers that was just being using excessive force for no reason, and she was asked to leave her job. And that whole idea of crossing the blue line and the fear of each other, the fear of losing your job, the fear of all these things, like, perpetuates this. And then I'm sure that kind of anger and repression and that fear turns into, well, I'm going to take it out on the next black person I see, because why black person? All right, maybe you're prejudiced. But also, you know, the media up till now, you could beat up five people. And as long as they weren't some, you know, rich white lady, you could kind of get away with it. And I think it's just coming to light that, you know, look at this entire system. It's ridiculous. And it's a downward spiral of hatred and brutality just to have some sort of protection. We really have to think about ourselves, you know.
You're talking about the boot on your neck, and I think we've all been there. It's part of human life. It's part of our lesson plan for life to come down here and experience it. And one of the jobs that if we take on is evolving past all of this. You know, you were talking about coming to the conclusion that everyone has that greater spirit within them, and to, when you were talking about enlightenment and seeing other people as your mother, and changing your view, shifting your awareness. There was a wonderful book written called I Remember Union. It was a channeled book by Mary, you know, the channeling of Mary Magdalene, where she speaks about this world gate between worlds, the time between having full sentient awareness of who you're going to be in this life and the soul you are and why you come at this time and place. And Mary Magdalene spoke about three souls together at that time before herself, Jesus, and Judas Iscariot. And they all knew with great love and pain what they would go through. But they made the choice to do it because they saw the absolute goodness and the absolute growth that it would trigger in the rest of the world and the rest of the stories that came afterwards and the souls that would be affected. And having that deeper awareness, this is what we're about. We're about understanding spirit first instead of physical first, instead of mind first. And if we can shift awareness to where we at least acknowledge the spirit of things, the spirit of a person before we act. And I think that's a big, you know, step at this time in our evolution as a species, because that's greater intelligence, greater knowledge, greater humanity, which we've lost so much of it, if we ever had what we were capable of, you know?
Yeah, I think that's our quote-unquote fight as spiritual or warriors of the light, which I know that a lot of us are, to have, in order to do this, you do have to have that warrior in there so that you know that it has to be a different way. And to be able to be in that space of the oneness, while there are others that are either completely oblivious or just choose not to and go in some detrimental way to the environment or the people around them, that takes real strength and real staying power to be able to, you know, those women that hold up, not just women, but those are the pictures I've seen of, you know, these older ladies holding up mirrors to the police officers and showing what you've become, knowing that, you know, you're standing in front of tanks and machine guns and a wall of violence. And to have that, to go, okay, you know, I'm going to stand here in a peaceful vibration and I'm going to show you so maybe you can see. I mean, I think that's the most effective tool. To come towards and see about relating to that inner light in that person that's doing something dark, that's standing there with a war shield and, you know, loaded to the gills with ammunition, to just look at yourself, and there can be a crisis of self, but it's a great, I think that's the best way that we can do it.
You know, one of the most, you know, one of my biggest heroes has been through school, and you remember that guy who stood in front of those tanks in Tiananmen Square?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my biggest heroes, the courage. Courage it took to, Elroy, you are not scheduled on the show. Come here. I mean it.
Everybody knows the pet conversation.
The courage that it took to be that person, that young man who stood in front of those tanks and gave his life for what was right, what was just. We are standing in the midst of those times, you know, and it seems like since industrialization, the focus has been, it veers off to the left and it veers off to the right, but the spotlight keeps coming back to that, as if the universe itself is telling us, evolve, see what you can be, you know?
Yeah, and that the idea of change, I think Tom Lesher talked about this in the last astrology report, of nature changes, the seasons change, things change, they go through their cycles, and we're kind of the only thing on the planet that's like, you know, that box of change doesn't want anything to change, or wants to, you know, that idea of morphing into a higher consciousness, a higher way of looking at things. And that reminded me of side note, I think it was Alan Watts. I've been listening to a lot of these guys, but Alan Watts said something about it where, oh no, sorry, it was Terrence McKenna saying that that humans are the only ones that have this need for something more. Well, I don't want to do this anymore. I need to change it up. Here's the other side of the change, right? I need this to be more like this. And he said that in the nature world, you know, you don't see flocks of grasshoppers going, all right, no more of this hopping around and eating bugs thing. Like, I'm going to take to the sea, you know, do something different. So just... It does reiterate what we're saying about seeing things one way. You know, we know that people have trouble with change, but we also know that we don't like it when it stays the same too much either. So to be able to balance all these sides, we have to have some more broad level of understanding and not so much these narrow ideas of right and wrong. I think
that's quite true. And we have so many good tools useful to us that people are really very, very, anxious to use and gather a new understanding because of, like the aromatherapy and the flower essences and the crystals. And forms of meditation. One of the premier examples is yoga. And, you know, you take as much from one place or one source as you need, and then you go to the next. That's why I'm so very fond of and completely engaged with the stories of our ancestors and the tools that they used to, you know, bring about growth and change and it's never been about being the chameleon of an ancestor. It's always been about learning from and going beyond. You know, it's like traditions are beautiful, wonderful things, but even the traditionalist who created it was hoping for better. And that comes with a future generation, you know? It's learning and growing beyond. And basically, that's the point we're at right now, is taking that leap beyond all and remembering what the past has taught us, you know, and the good things that our ancestors did hold dear that we have forgotten. you know?
Yeah.
Because we have forgotten so much. It's incredible that we simply have stopped being stewards of the land, and we've begun to be, well, we haven't begun, we totally embrace, on the majority of humanity's side right now, we embrace the destruction of the planet and the mining of its resources to our own detriment. Greed has embraced so much, and that goes back to the lesson of theft. You know, anybody who sees theft in black and white terms is not seeing the whole picture. Well, it's because they're anchored in this I, me, my. It's mine, you can't have it. And that's really, I don't really honestly think that's where humanity is really meant to be or really feels good, because when people are so caught up in the I, me, my, exclusively, I can tell you, these are not happy people at heart. No. These are not folks who are flowing with the go. Now, that does not mean that because you have a bank account, you're all I, me, my at all. I've known people who have, you know, thunderously so many amounts of money, who are very good people, who are actually happy, and they're also very generous people. They're responsible with their generosity, more responsible maybe than many of us who think we're being responsible with our, you know, goods and services. But that's too often anymore, that's the odd man out.
Yeah, that's intent too, isn't it? You know, what got you to all this money? Where was your intention to just accumulate as much as possible at all costs to others? Or did you accumulate this through a love and light, doing something that you loved or doing something that was important to you or the planet, and therefore accumulated the abundance that was your birthright for treading there? So,
well, and there's folks who, you know, walk into great hoards of money because they're born into it, and dubious, you know, maybe not what you would consider an integrity, how their family acquired the funds, but once they become the holders, they turn that energy around. You know, they transcend the genetic malfeasance, if you were. Mm-hmm. You know, they do good. They turn it into a new. There's many examples of that I can think of. But the point is, it's real difficult for those folks, too, to be taken for their true intentions. And I think we have to keep that, just like the example of the Enlightenment story. You know, look at that person as if they were your mother. Well, look at that family as if they were yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and forgiveness consistently becomes the trigger and for healing and beginning with the self. Like I said, there's a lot of really great tools. One of the wonderful ones we have, the wonderful tools we have that our ancestors left us, is gathering together in a common purpose just to, you know, put energy into the land and celebrate with ceremony. And it doesn't have to be something that's written in sand. It can be so very spontaneous, you know?
It makes me think of when we had the blackout here in New York and how so many bars and different social settings just erupted with fun and, you know, fuck it, let's have a good time. And
yeah,
just hearing that, you know, I think really I'm sure people just thought, well, you know, screw it. Let's just have a good time. And then when you have so many people doing that amongst, you know, a time when it can be quite devastating, then it does raise the vibration. It makes a big difference. And it's not even like that was obviously their true nature taking over and saying, okay, you know what? You could stress about this and how you're going to get home and all these things, but you know what? Let's go over there with these people and you know, eat up the food before it goes bad and drink the beer before it gets warm. And it makes all the difference.
It does. And it goes to speaking about generosity and sense of community again. Right. When we all have something in common, you know, that transcends all our divides and differences. And for the light worker these days, that's the big thing, finding the common denominator and pointing it out to the people confused or angry or feeling nothing but hurt and pain. You can only do your best at that, but you cannot allow yourself to be drained by what you might think of as a failure, because there is no such thing as failure. There's just experience and going on and getting, you know, a new avenue of pursuing, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the asteroid energy that's coming tomorrow. What is the energy that comes along with an asteroid?
Well, the asteroids, comets, anything that comes from space and scratches are. This is going to be 25,000 miles between away from Earth's surface, which is really quite close. Now, the coming of asteroids or comets is always, throughout almost every culture on the planet, has always been an omen of something that's about to shift. And this comet is... what do you call it? It was picked up pretty late in its trajectory towards us, only a few weeks ago, I believe. I'm looking for the information on it right now. Hang on. And it so much so that it was named after it was named after a number. It's been named 2014 RC, and it's a big space rock.
Whenever I hear RC, I just think of RC Cola.
And I haven't tasted that in years. That's 1/10 of the distance between Earth and the Moon, making it the closest approach in years. And I was wrong. I said 3 p.m. It's about 2:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow that it's going to get its closest perigee to us. So it's scratching the sky above us. And, you know, that opens energy up. So lots more of the magnetic force of what's going on in the solar system is going to start booming. You know, that's a thumper. That's what I'm saying. And basically, that I would say is just physics. It's going to allow energy a quicker tightening, you know, a quickening on planet Earth. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of felt like something was going to happen.
Well, and this isn't going to be visible to the naked eye, but if you have just a really good telescope, you'll be able to see it.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a small one. It'll have a tail. It's only like 60 foot in dimension, the size of a good yacht, you know? it's making its way through our waters tomorrow, and the coming of it is, you know, it's come through the solar system, So it's gathered all the energy with it. So you can think of its tail as something that's bringing in some change. It's going to make a shift. What kind of shift? Well, I think that has to do a lot with the magnetic influences that are currently underway with the planets. So,
which affect us a lot more than we realize.
Yeah. So it's not going to be in as close to the satellite ring as you might think. Not at all. But it's out there. It's coming by. It's between us and the moon. That's close enough for me, bud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you look it up, you can find the information on the net. But I don't know what NASA has said about it yet. But I'm currently trying to look it up. But space.com does have information on it. It's buzzing us this weekend. Zooming safely by Earth this weekend, and you can see live views of it at space.com. They're going to have a camera on it, so if you want to see it, you can find a camera view of it on space.com. That's where you find all the wonderful information about what's going on in our solar system and the galaxy surrounding us, space.com, like last week's gigantic solar filament eruption that came towards us last week. That opened our atmosphere up for more influential resonance to come in. They've over at the SLU Community Observatory where they're filming this from, they've named this near Earth asteroid the Pitbull. That might give you a little indication.
Interesting. Can be extremely loving, but also can be a death machine.
Jeez.
And then we have followed by a full moon, I see, on Tuesday, or in and around Tuesday, depending on where you are,
yeah.
Which always amplifies all the energy. So, you know.
Well, and that's... This one's orbit is really close to Earth, actually.
Wow.
It's Pitbull energy. So if you need to brace yourself and have your feet steady in the ground, I would say take a breath of light from this asteroid.
Right. Right, that good balanced low center of gravity.
But you know, the thing is, too, there's a lot of things that are going on right now across the world where the influence of Pitbull, I would say, would not be the best one.
But it's very interesting because it also talks about our war nature and the warrior nature. It's the same thing with one of my friends has become a huge advocate of the Pitbull. And she has a pit bull, and it's exactly like us, the pit bull. It has the potential to either be a killing machine or the sweetest, most loyal, kind animal you could possibly ask for, and smart. So it does mirror us, and it's interesting that they call the asteroid that. I mean, you know, the animal totems, it can tell you a lot about the story and the energy, so... I think we have some decisions to make here, clearly, right? I mean, I'm not really saying anything that I don't think is obvious, but sometimes you need to state the obvious, that you know, all between all these wars of between race and the police and countries and Palestinian and all this, we really have to take a look at, okay, which way do we want to go? What kind of pit bull do we want to be here, really? And you can choose, and you can choose, and you can choose. And every little choice that we make adds up to bigger choices in that direction. So I think just making a couple choices to be kinder to yourself, just to start there, can change the world. It's funny how even these things that we've, you know, love yourself, love the world, have also been put under the guise of oh, airy-fairy, blah, 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 yeah, yeah. But that's part of the game as well. It's like, well, of course they want you to think that, you know, oh, yeah, well, you're just like that. Yes, I'm like that, you know. It's much better than killing my neighbor. I mean, come on, man.
Well, you know, Uranus-Pluto, we got that square going on for years and years, and it's the dynamics between the two are, you know, all about, let's face it, Pluto is the ultimate rebirth because it's the final death, you know? And Uranus is all about, you know, rebellion and revolution and the biggest changes that we make in our lives. That's Uranus. And having the chutzpah or the courage to face whatever it is and make a change there too. So we're really being tasked to get to that place where we shift our consciousness into one of either laying it down or picking up and moving on with healing and transforming everything, you know?
Yeah, I have to believe that we're doing it. I think that's another thing that has been hidden from us, that there's so much more good going in the world than we can possibly imagine, because
absolutely. I agree with you 100%. There are so many, it's like we were talking about that balance. Apparently Thor agrees. He just threw a thunderbolt down.
Ooh. Thank you.
There is so much positive that is going on in the everyday. And it's difficult sometimes to talk with people and say yes. And you realize the lesson, the physics, the absolute physics of the pebble in the pond, where one person's actions, thoughts, and intentions are the ripple effect throughout humanity, no matter what. And we're no longer at 6 degrees. We're more at 2 degrees of separation from anyone. So, and at a time when there is such huge population on the planet, my goodness, with a shift of consciousness of majority, then again, as we've spoken about often, it only would take 1%.
Right, and I think we're definitely there. I think we're beyond there. And even that, you see why the false media has showed us only the negative, because it does keep at least a certain amount of us still in that negative. If they were to show us all the beautiful stories of, you know, people living with animals and living with nature and living with each other nicely, that creates a vibration as well that is
less greedy, less consumer driven,
right.
Less corporate engineered.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get there. Right. And it just takes all of us hanging on and doing our best. And that's the simple end line of it, is doing our best with our best intention, our best heart. We'll get there.
Yeah, and even for our own lives, I feel the best thing is to be on the deathbed and have no regrets, at least to have made peace with things that you may have done differently, but to really have had some, to have enjoyed it to a certain extent and to focus on that extent. And Actually, something, an occurrence has happened. I did a show with Jerome Dorsey, the Iron Man, and he was a triathlete, 60 years old, had gone through renal failure, and through the gift of life, he was given a new kidney and came back to do the Iron Man event again, and he just passed on to the next dimension on Saturday, kind of very abruptly. And so his family is gathered together, and so it just goes to show you, this man came from a very difficult childhood, from a very rough neighborhood in Philadelphia, and really found what he loved from a young age, not even knowing what it was, why he loved to run and why he loved the being in nature, and then ended up working at the hospital and having a wonderful life. And so when I heard about his passing, I thought, you know, that sure, he could have had 10, 20, whatever more years of happiness, but he definitely got it done in the time that he was here to enjoy his life and do what he truly loved. And he was a kind, kind soul. So blessings for Jerome Dorsey.
There you go. That's positive.
Yeah.
Very, very positive. Well, we are close to the end of this week's show, and who are you having? What is your topic on Monday, hon?
Oh, good question. I mean, I took 2 weeks off partly because of the holiday. I just felt like not a lot of people were around, but I do. I have been feeling some sort of shifting going on, and it cleared my mind of thoughts to be able to talk about for an hour. But I feel like we're coming back around, so we'll have to see what happens. But I definitely want to talk about something.
Okay.
Amazing. It's interesting, this feeling, tell me if you feel this too, of just there's something else, and there's like a clearing out, and there's sort of this hum space in between that's lasted for a couple weeks. There's sort of this just a hum. I don't know if it's from doing the meditation with Deepak Chopra and Oprah for 3 weeks.
that's a good tool to use.
Yeah, that was very interesting, using the mantra. I hadn't really done that, and to see all the dances that your brain does when it doesn't want to just stay on the mantra. So, I don't know. We'll see. What are you guys talking about tomorrow on the Sunday show?
Tomorrow, as usual, we will do a roundtable about the last week's news. And I think that one of the big things people are going to be, the guys are going to bring up is the situation in Ukraine and just exactly what's going on there. Because there's just so much bad information being you know, dealt out like so many poker cards to the American public by the mainstream media. CNN ought to get shut down. Yeah. I mean, you know, the outright lies that they're taking the propaganda of certain profit-seeking politicians and all of this, and they're using it as a game book to direct sensationalist viewing on CNN about, you know, Putin and the Ukraine and what's going on there and is war coming and, you know, all these little Baltic countries that are scurrying, as they say, to the United Nations. Well, you can't really blame these countries for going to the United Nations. They've lived once behind an iron curtain, and they'll be danged if they do again, you know? But it's all BS, and it reminds me of how World War I began. Rumor and innuendo, you know, was what started World War I. And I would think we had all grown up a bit since then. So that'll probably be a big topic.
Wow. that sounds good. Well, the best way to shut down those CNNs is just to stop watching them.
It's true. I think I've watched about, all told, maybe 25 minutes of CNN in the last year.
Nice. That's good. Oh, and also on a positive note, I noticed that SeaWorld, that really also should be obsolete and no longer a thing, their stocks have fallen tremendously after the independent film Blackfish, all about the torture that the whales go through. So apparently they're scrambling and they're trying to, you know, they say, oh, we're getting bigger tanks. Well, but there's no tanks. So it seems like there's something that's going to crash and burn, which is, you know, a wonderful thing. It's a good sign.
It should be. If people want to, first of all, we have this wonderful thing now called the computer and video, where I have been introduced to and grown to love and appreciate and learn from many of the animal kingdom through video, especially National Geographic. If you really want to get to it, you know, make it your pilgrimage. You really love animals that much, then instead of going to SeaWorld, rent yourself a boat and get out on the sea and get in touch with the environment and the animal.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the wild kingdom, go to National Geographic or book yourself passage on a safari that's a camera safari. You know, I don't like zoos. I don't approve. And I don't approve of aquariums that are caging big mammals. They can do most of their research at sea. You know, like the New England Aquarium will say, hey, we're doing all this research. You can do that at sea.
Mm-hmm. Excuses. Yeah.
No, and when they say funding, you know, then you put it back to them. Well, you scientists need to get the funding from the place that the war makers get the funding from.
Right.
Change that mind.
Right. There you go. Nice. Very exciting times. Well, it would be great if we can get a lot of these things at least moving in the right direction in our lifetime. I mean, I think that's kind of the race that a lot of us are feeling these days. Are we going to see this in our lifetime? Not that it matters, really, because it's not like you ever really die. You can come back just easily, right? But how much? How much? But look at all the things that changed in the 60s and 70s. I mean, you know.
You know what I'm doing? It's just my little thing that I'm doing on the side, as they say. At night when I do light work in bed, activating DNA and seeing all those sequences and lighting them up and say, turn on, turn on. I'm also putting this little program in my spiritual DNA that says, remember Gwen, turn her back on. Next time around, remember Gwen, turn her back on.
Nice.
That's like I want to come back and say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I don't want to have to dance the hoochie coochie with a bunch of issues to do it. I want it to be there in the sequence.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen. All right, well, it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
and we have a minute left in the show, so. Good consciousness shifting on this Saturday afternoon.
And we are sponsored by Spirit Therapy, which is online too. Where can we find Spirit Therapy?
At the moment, Facebook, Spirit Therapy with Nicole. But in a couple weeks, we will launch our website, spirittherapynyc.com. So I'll make an announcement about that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And please remember us over at Daughters of Isis. .com. It's just daughtersofisis.com, where you can find the fragrant and the vibrational remedies, too, of our ancestors, those memories. Lots of tools to work with evolution and growth and all the in-between ways.
Wonderful. All right. Well, everyone have a wonderful week. And I see Phoenix 22 has just logged in. We'll see you next week, hopefully, or on the Sunday show tomorrow, or on Spirit Therapy on Monday at 7 p.m. All right. Have a great everything, everyone.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Gwen.